Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
It's TNR.
Heard you like to party.
The 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
It's your
absolutely.
Yes, it'd be amazing.
Their actions will be taken.
It's your Toucher and Rich.
Big drinker.
Drunk and Red Sox recap.
Like, he's good.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
By the way, don't underestimate that deal for Snacks Harrison.
Yeah, we were talking about this off the air. Former Jet, right? Former Jet.
Yeah.
And the Giants, who I think are selling off because they are a horrible team that's going to wind up in the top three of the draft, if not number one next year. Eli Apple goes to New Orleans, Snacks Harrison to the Lions, and apparently they're just getting started. They got a lot of guys to get rid of, and the trade deadline is not until next Monday.
The Jets kept Wilkerson and Richardson, who they obviously had to get rid of, and they let the one good guy go. All right, young Nicholas was out at the game last night. Son of Mock Jamelli.
Mm-hmm. I sleep on a recliner.
Maybe one day Mark Jamelli can get recaps. He's right by the garden. Oh.
No, he's not.
It's not even close. North End is by the garden.
Oh, by the garden. Fenway. Yes.
He is by the garden. What are you challenging? I've been here for almost 13 years.
I made the mistake. That's me. We were trying to do a Red Sox recap. I thought you were talking about Fenway.
Well, the season's almost over. Yeah. You get him out there in the cold, and he goes like, "Dude,
he's going to be mobbed."
Dude, no one knows what he looks like.
The minute they hear his voice, all of a sudden, it's all bets are off.
It's I sit hard days on now. A recliner. What do you think about that?
Well, I sleep on a recliner.
I sleep on a recliner, jackass.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what'd you think about that game? It was great. What'd you have in there? Popcorn and treats?
I love meatballs.
He's got to do a recap.
What'd you have there? You have yourself a hot dog?
It's a father-son recap?
Oh, man.
I got no problem with that.
First. Nick will just bring him down.
Is this a meatball or a marble, for God's sakes?
Win or lose, you probably had a great time.
Yeah, I'm looking at him. Yeah.
They have comfortable seats?
All right. Here is Nicholas. He's out in front of Fenway Park talking to the people.
Can we use this for the radio?
Amen.
What do you think about the Red Sox tonight?
We beat the shit out of the Dodgers. There's no other questions.
Okay.
Clayton Kershaw is Sox.
Manny Machado, do you think
Sox?
He's...
Sox? That's my friend.
Hi, friend.
98.5 is good, too.
What do you think about the Red Sox win?
What's going on?
His friend just showed up.
Okay.
Yeah, his friend just 98.95 is good, too.
Red Sox is soft. Baseball needs to shorten the game or we're done. But go Sox.
What are your thoughts about Fenway Park?
Tear it down. Parking lot, new stadium, more World Series.
Why?
Tear this hole down.
Why?
The seats are too small for us fat people.
Amen.
He's right.
Amen.
He's right. And if by fat you mean 180 pounds.
Yeah.
If you're a human being.
I barely fit into these things. Jesus.
Right. If you're a human, they're tough to fit into
seats. I might
have
the world's smallest ass. And I can't fit into those seats.
Even the new ones.
I literally, technically, I guess it is an ass. But it's like a juicy little pear. And even I can't fit in the seat.
Mm. I just like how he just has this moment of honesty. Where
the seats are too small for us fat people.
Tear it down.
There should be an owner of the Red Sox that is not as skinny as John Henry. There should be a big fat owner.
Right.
That smokes cigars and wears a monocle.
Tear it down.
Monocle.
Ow! He's not kidding.
Please use this for the radio. Tear this stadium down. Everyone that works here is soft.
The Dodgers are terrible. The ALCS was the championship. And go Celtics, okay? Because that's the only team that can keep the game under 3 hours.
What are your thoughts on James Taylor? He's saying the national anthem.
I'm sick of James Taylor. F*** JT. Get somebody else in here. That JT's part of the problem.
I just like that you're just referring to him as JT.
Right, I'm immediately going to. Of course, Mr. Timberlake. It all of a sudden made James Taylor cool again.
Well, how do you know he's not talking about the former lead singer of Kool and the Gang? You don't know this. It could be any
of these. Is that
JT? That's right.
Wow.
But if, I mean, if you're not a fan of James Taylor, you just start calling him JT. Doesn't seem right.
Maybe it's he whose name shall not be spoken. He's so pissed off.
Well,
it's like Voldemort.
Oh, and I just like opened up some app on my phone and it said like James Taylor sucks was the news story.
You just hit a f-ing nerve. JT, he can't sing. He needs the guitar to keep his rhythm. That was bullshit. I'm sick of his shit. I'm sick of JT. That was bullshit. Justin, put that on the fucking radio.
All right.
JT, you want to know what I think about James Taylor singing the national anthem? That was dog shit. I'm more pissed about that, and so are my parents. They're pissed about it.
And then his parents come up. Yeah, FJC.
That's an all-timer, man.
Even my parents.
They're supposed to like that trash. And even they thought it sucked.
It sucked. Oh. I'll tell you, James Taylor's no meatball.
You got to find this guy again tonight. Nick, you gotta fight him again tonight.
Doesn't sound like he wants to go back.
You wanna know what I think about James Taylor singing the national anthem? That was dog shit. I'm more pissed about that, and so are my parents. They're pissed about it.
Who do you want to sing the national anthem for game two?
Cardi B. No, just kidding. I don't know who I want. Anyone but JT. Dropkick Murphys.
Camilla,
get some real power
Cabella,
out here. Dropkick Cabella. Murphys.
All right.
I'd like more than four innings out of our number one tonight. Pedro would have gone more than four innings, okay? So we can have anybody else on the mound.
Wow.
Who do you want on the mound?
He's not crazy.
Price is unconscious.
He's not crazy.
Price is going to go eight innings shutout in game two.
Wow.
And I'm going to come back here.
Who's
and we're
going to
burn
it?
Fenway down.
Who's
the last home game
get
ever
your
at Fenway Park.
Get your wallets
tomorrow
out.
Night. David Price,
open
game two.
Count online.
Shut it down.
Bet
get a new stadium.
Get
moving
your fucking wallets out.
The
bet
Red Sox.
On the Sox.
Let's go.
Waiting.
They're better than
tomorrow
Dodgers.
Night, game two.
We got plenty
Los
to go.
Angeles Dodgers.
I love you. Goodbye. I love you.
Thank you and good night.
I just love the fact he goes, yeah, shut it down, burn it down. Let's move it to Foxborough. Okay, well, maybe we don't.
Like, let's slow down with that.
Far. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's perfectly well located. It's just a dump.
Oh, that guy. Shall we relive a uncomfortable moment from last night?
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome the performer of our national anthem. Beyond the Grammys, beyond the platinum and the gold, beyond the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, this wonderful singer-songwriter is known and loved throughout the world, but nowhere as much as from Stockbridge to Boston. Won't you please welcome home the legendary James Taylor.
Oh, see, can you see by the dawn's early light?
I'm sick of James
what's
Taylor.
So
JT, get somebody else in here.
The
JT's part of the problem. You just hit a
whose
nerve.
Broad stripes and bright star through the perilous fight.
JT, he can't sing. He needs the guitar to keep his rhythm. That was bullshit. I'm sick of his shit. I'm sick of JT. That was bullshit.
And the Rockets red glare, the bombs were
just put that on the radio. JT, you want to know what I think about James Taylor singing the national anthem? That was dog shit. I'm more pissed about that, and so are my parents. They're pissed about it.
Does that star spangled?
national anthem for game two. Cardi B. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know why I want anyone but JT. Hit a nerve.
All right. Well, first of all, there's always people that get pissed when we play stuff over the anthem. And second, like, we're disgracing America. And second of all, Mike Gorman is going to join us. He will join us, and it's always a pleasure when he comes on.
The seats are too small for us fat people.
Toucher and Rich.
How do you make history? You win championships. Not once, not twice. You win again and again. Everything you do every day is about winning. There are few organizations in history who've created a tradition of winning. Here are two from two cities that have experienced success in every major sport. Through the years, the players have changed, but the commitment, the ambition, the goal has not. It's been like this for more than a century. These two teams now play for a ring, a championship, history.
We're on to Cincinnati.
The Dodgers, the Red Sox, in the World Series on Fox.
Wow, we got a party going here.
You play a defense for 60 minutes like a championship team's supposed to play. Talk about punks out there.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich.
I was just thinking the entire time the Bill Belichick thing was on, the massive amounts of edits that some poor guy had to do to get all the grunts and smacks and moans out of that usually come out of a normal Bill Belichick speaking engagement.
How many phone calls did Fox have to make to convince him to do it?
He's probably fine with it.
Well, he obviously spent a lot of time doing it. I mean, he nailed it. All right, Mike Gorman, we know him from NBC Sports Boston. He is the voice, the television voice of your Boston Celtics.
Hello. We're qualifying now.
Huh?
We're qualifying now, the television voice.
The voice of the Boston Celtics.
There you go. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
The only voice at all.
There you go.
If you don't listen to Gorman, it's just a sea of uncomfortable silence.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
Speaking of radio voice, did you know that Sean Grandy was dating Dana Jacobson from ESPN?
Oh, sure.
You see, I had no idea about this. I'm always like, you know, yeah. Wallach knew, too.
I used to see Dana a lot on the road.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm really happy for them. I saw Dana the other night. She's just, she was kind of beside herself. She was so happy. That's really, really nice to see. Nice to see Sean settled in.
I take it you're going to be invited to the wedding, and I take it Wallach will not be?
It sounds about right.
I don't assume anything. But,
Mike's an A-lister. I think we all know that.
Yeah, that could be. He probably, it depends upon when he... I asked them when they had plans, and they said they hadn't really worked on that yet. So it'll be a summer wedding, I would think, though. Given
you got better things.
The occupation of both of them.
Yeah, you got better things.
Speaking of summer things and vacation, you were on with us last time, and you were talking about your trip that you took like to the islands like outside of Greece and stuff. But I didn't. Yeah. There was a story that was in the Boston Herald, which I thought was pretty awesome. The one involving... You going into like a cafe when everything was closed. Can you kind of just recap what happened? Because that was so strange.
Yeah, we're on the island of, I think it was Sifnos, which is one of the smaller islands, and not too many people live on it. And we pulled into this little cove and spent the night. And then the next morning, the captain, because there were four of us on the boat, me and my wife and this Greek captain and his wife, who was Ukrainian, who did all the cooking. And the four of us just took off for 11 days. Anyway, so we spend a night in this little cove in the island of Sifnos. The next morning he says, you know, geez, there's force 10 winds out there outside the harbor here. Why don't we just spend most of the day here, and then we'll see what happens late this afternoon. In the meantime, you guys should hike up to that village. He points up to the top of this mountain, and there's obviously a small village up there. He says, you should hike up to it. It's really good. So we hike up, takes us a couple of hours, and we get there at like 5 minutes after noontime, and they have this thing. There's a Greek word for it, but I don't. It's the equivalent of siesta, mm-hmm. and everything's closed from 12 to 4. So we're walking around in this little village, and we do not see another human being for a good 45 minutes of walking around. Everything is just shut up tight. And finally, we're walking by this little street, and we hear some kids playing down the street. And I said to Terry, I said, "See, that's the only sounds of humanity we've heard since we've been here. We should walk down and check it out." So we walk down the street. There's a couple of kids playing soccer in the street, and there's a guy sitting in a chair outside this cafe. And I said, "Do you speak English?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Can you tell me any place that we might just get a cup of coffee or a glass of wine while we wait for the stores to open in a couple of hours?" And he says, "Oh, come on in. I'll open my place for you." So he opens up his cafe, and we go in, we sit down, and he comes out with a pitcher of wine and 3 glasses and immediately sits down with us, and we start talking. And probably 2 or 3 minutes into the conversation, he says, "Where are you from?" And we said, "The United States." And he said, "Oh, I know you're from the United States. I can tell. Whereabouts are you from?" And I said, "Boston." And without hesitating, he goes, "You have the best basketball coach in the world, Brad Stevens. I love Brad Stevens."
This is in Greece. This is a random town in Greece.
We're on a random little island in the Aegean Sea. On the top of a mountain with a village that probably has about 200 people in it, and he's the basketball coach in the village who watches the NBA package and mimics Brad Stevens on the sidelines. That's what he told us. He said, "I walk like him, I talk like him, I try to do everything like him."
Did he know who you were?
No.
Did you inform him that you were indeed the voice of the Boston Celtics?
No.
So this was an intimate cruise through small islands, right?
Yes, yeah.
Were you able to bathe nude? As God intended?
That option was there. We didn't take it, but that option was there. It was the greatest vacation because we had no itinerary. We would just wake up every morning and decide, well, what do we feel like doing today? Do we want to hike on an island somewhere? Do we want to swim in a cove? And these coves were just unbelievable. You'd be in like 40 feet of water, and you could drop a penny off the boat, and you could see it go all the way to the bottom, and you could see it settle down 50 feet below you. That's no exaggeration. That's how clear it was. It made the Caribbean look like it's polluted. And so we'd just go around, and we'd swim, and we'd take a nap and drink a lot of wine and sail. And well, off the grid, we didn't have an internet signal for 4 days, 5 days. It was really cool.
Did you not tell that guy who you were because you just didn't want to have to answer a million questions?
I wasn't looking for a free glass of wine. You know, I wasn't trying to say, "Hey, I'm the voice of the Celtics." You know, I thought it was pretty cool that he knew who Brad Stevens was, and so just to have him talk about that was a lot more fun than have him ask me 10,000 stories about Larry Bird or something.
You know? Well, when he gave you the bill,
I was on vacation.
When he gave you the bill, you should have just signed it and said, "You're welcome."
No, I'm thinking maybe at some point this year, while he's sitting there watching the NBA package on the top of his little island community, that he goes, "See, that guy looks familiar."
Yeah, that's that guy that was in my store, and of course no one will believe him. Well, this has been a weird first 4 games, and to be quite honest, I'm not really surprised at how things have gone. I knew it was going to be slow for the starting five to get some sort of chemistry. I guess the one thing that I'm not concerned about but has been strange is that Kyrie, despite in the second half of that last game kind of scoring like Kyrie does, he still doesn't look like Kyrie Irving. Do you agree?
Oh, with 100%. You know, I think we overlooked the fact that he had missed so many games and that he had work done, obviously, on his knee. Everybody was so anxious for Gordon to get back and how's Gordon going to do and is Gordon going to be able to experience soreness, what's going to be this, what's going to be that. And everybody forgot about Kyrie and just expected Kyrie to come back at 100% of the old Kyrie. And he's not even close to that. I mean, in my mind, he's probably 75. Yeah. If you have to put a number to it.
Yeah, and he's passing when he shouldn't, it seems, too. Like, he almost seems hesitant to get into the paint. He got a little bit better in the last game, but, you know, you can tell his confidence is not back yet.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, the Celtics, they had 4 or 5 free throws with about 3 minutes left in the game the other night. Yeah. They're trying to get the system down, but I think they're going to have to drive a little bit more and penetrate a little bit more with the ball, and that's something Kyrie, as opposed to standing at the top of the key and just reversing the ball all the time. I think he will. I think he just needs to get his legs underneath him, but I agree with you. He's, in my mind, and I mean this as a compliment to him, not as any kind of a knock, you know, he's probably about 70% of who he will be 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now.
Mike, you mentioned Gordon Hayward. First quarter the other night, he looked like Gordon Hayward.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I know he experienced some soreness of the ankle over the weekend, but apparently that was went away. And, yeah, he's starting to look more and more like himself. But, again, you know, you're incorporating guys who are, if not one and two in your team, certainly are in the top three along with Jason Tatum in your team. So it's not like you're incorporating guys at the end of the bench and you can sprinkle them in when you feel like it. These are two starters that you're trying to get back from extended injuries and rehab and extended times for both of them without playing basketball. So to think that they're going to come in and suddenly play at 100% right away is, I think, a little naive. I really think you got to give this team 25, 30 games, and then we'll have a much better idea of who they are.
What do you make of
it? By the way, Toronto, some of these other teams are better than we thought. Toronto's yeah. very good. The Detroit's surprisingly good. Yeah, we see Detroit twice in the next week and Milwaukee. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, the only guy that, as I said, I expected it out of Kyrie to start slow and Gordon Hayward, obviously, and he's getting better. But Jaylen Brown, does it seem like he's regressed since the end of last year?
Well, I don't know so much he's regressed, but, you know, again, there's a domino effect to bringing back these two guys and having them play prime minutes is that somebody else is going to lose the opportunities that they had. And it seems like Jaylen right now is losing a lot of the opportunities that he had last year. And so as a result, he's getting the ball in stranger situations. And, yeah, I would say I don't want to use the word suffered, but the comeback of those two guys has probably had the most effect on his game. Tatum has been able to just be Tatum. Jaylen has yet to figure out how to be Jaylen with both Kyrie and Gordon on the court.
Okay, Mike Gorman, I know you're a big fan of this guy, and you spend a lot of time, obviously, with him. But after the whole incident with Chris Paul and the Lakers, do you believe that Rondo intentionally spit on Chris Paul?
I don't think Rajon does much that isn't intentional.
I agree.
100%.
Without a doubt. And you know he probably did it in a way where it didn't look like he meant to do it, but yeah, he meant right. to do it.
Right, exactly. It was kind of a quick shot.
Now, he was talking trash on Chris Paul, too, saying that despite like having a nice guy image, that his teammates don't like playing with him. Is that a rumor that you have heard before?
No, I haven't. I got to get Scal to talk about this because he wouldn't talk about this on the air the other night. Those guys go way back to not liking each other, whether it goes all the way back to the championship season or what. But it's a long time these guys have not liked each other. I never really knew what the origin of it was.
Wasn't it because Danny kept trying to trade for Chris Paul and take Rondo's spot? Didn't he covet Chris Paul for all those years?
Well, sure, he did, but... So you think, yeah, I guess Rondo would be bothered by that.
Oh, yeah. If anyone would be, you would think it'd be Rondo.
Yeah. Again, I've told you guys this before. My experience with him is so much different than the guy who is tripping people, is doing the kind of stuff he does. I just have always had a good relationship with him. We talk about his family. We talk about life in general. The time when I talk to him, and I find him a delightful kid. I always have. But I also... saw him throw that left jab. He stuck that jab pretty good.
He really
was impressive. It was actually a good-looking fight.
Punch. If you're going to have a punch, that was a good-looking punch.
That was a real basketball fight, and you almost never see those.
No, you don't. And how about Brandon Ingram? What's he drinking? Jeepers.
Yeah. I know. That was. Yeah. He's yeah. the one guy. It's like, wait. The best part was that they, you know, when Brandon Ingram was interviewed after he got a suspension, he said, well, quite frankly, I thought it was going to be longer than that.
Yeah, I did too. I thought the NBA was pretty light on that.
They like the fighting. They like the press.
Well, they certainly like the press, that's for sure. And you go on YouTube, and that clip has been looked at by a lot of people a lot of times. So
I say open it up. Let them fight.
Open it up. Did you hit Tommy the other night? I said, Tommy, do you ever throw a punch in a game? He went, yeah. I said, often? He said, yeah.
Yeah, I actually did hear that. I actually did hear that while I was marveling at the play of Jonathan Isaac.
Jonathan Isaac played pretty well. God, he is a stick, though.
Fred, let's be transparent. Fred wanted the Celtics to take Isaac over Tatum that year.
Oh, Isaac over Tatum?
That was Fred's. Fred believed that Isaac would be a better player than Tatum 3 years after the draft, and I informed him that that was not going to be the case, or that would never be the case.
Boy, Jonathan's got a lot of ground to make up.
Well, you know,
year.
You know what?
He's going to be a nice player. That's not a bad call for it. He's going to be a nice player.
You know,
he's not going to be Tatum.
Geniuses like us aren't afraid to, you know, put it on the line, you know?
That's what I've heard.
That's right. That's we reflect and we go deep into our souls and we make the call that we think is correct, you know?
Yeah. Did you get your bike back yet?
Young Nicholas, who's going to put it together for me, has been out in the streets, and if you haven't heard, he's very close to death. So I don't want to overwork the young man.
Okay.
Because
very close to death.
Yes,
yeah, he's got heart surgery.
Open heart surgery. Yeah. I mean, he's all messed up.
Oh, okay. All right. We can put the bike on hold, I guess then.
Well, he's offered. He offered yesterday, but, you know, if I'm nothing, Mike, if not generous to my underlings. And I said to him, you know what? We'll do it when you're less busy. But, you know, that's the way I am.
I'm just impressed you have underlings.
All right. Do you want to go out? Maybe we could hit the town. We could ride around a little bit.
On your bike?
Yeah, you sit on the handlebars. Yeah, you want to ride around?
No, I don't. I'll go bike riding with you, though.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
I have one of those half pipes in the driveway. How many of you, though?
I just worry.
You mean the U-shaped ramp?
U-shaped ramp, Mike. Get it right.
Ramp, yeah.
Damn it.
I just like how Gorman knows what it is and you don't.
Well, I'm just warning you, Mike. Things get a little hairy when I'm on that thing because I'm death-defying, but...
I want to see this.
I do too, but
yeah. Okay. All right.
I'm not going to spend the time to put it together. All right, Mr. Gorman. It's always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. See you next week.
All right, there you go. The great Mike Gorman.
Mm-hmm.
The vacations he takes are awesome.
They are.
I mean, he went to Norway a couple of years ago. He's cruising around the Aegean Sea on a small yacht.
That's always been a dream of mine to get a small yacht. That has been.
Where would you go?
I don't know. The Greek Isles seem nice, but the Caribbean, because there's islands you can access in the Caribbean that you cannot access unless you have a small boat.
Sure.
So, and my one time where I was on a boat, it was a misery. A barefoot cruise. Taking off my pants and letting the sun shine on my balls.
I think that's the third verse that got cut off.
He was too busy wearing his Houston Oilers shirt to say, "Hey, I'm a dude." You know how he always wore that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, he was like, "Hey,
I'm all man.
I'm a rough and rugged football fan." Oh, boy.
I could just see you on your little boat cranking up the music, walking around with any pants on.
Hell yeah. Just like you told me. Eating nude.
What?
Oh, you prepare a nice meal for you and you eat nude.
Oh, yeah, it's like Big Baby.
No, it's like my dad.
Your dad used to eat nude?
No. This is a different story for a different time. Okay. No, my father would eat not so much nude as in a bathrobe that was open.
I do remember that.
Bang around upstairs. Yeah, they come. Oh, would he be pissed when I had a friend over? Yeah. Dad,
cut off half the house for him.
Migdal's here. Damn it!
I gotta find the pants.
I've heard this.
Oh, yes. Pants.
Yeah, pants, all right. Yeah, he put on pants. I don't think he ever wore a pair of pants in the house.
Really?
No. Not one time. He wore a robe. Like, who wears a bathrobe around? The lazy days in Farmington Hills. All right, here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Last night, the Red Sox, despite Chris Sale not having his best stuff, got small miracles like Joe Kelly coming in and absolutely dominating.
How about the bullpen in general has been a small miracle?
It's stunning, you know, it's how weird good they are, all things considered.
And much like Maserati, I am not convinced that Kimbrel is back. That four-run lead is a lot different than sweating through.
Baby steps, man. I'll take what I saw last night. Considering how bad he's been for the balance of the postseason, I'll take, you know, the small run-up game, the last game against Houston. And last night, he looked normal. Okay, he was dominant.
He was, and I cannot argue with that. And, of course, it's better than if he would have blown the lead.
Yes.
Or if he would have been knocked around.
But strike one. I mean, hell, he was throwing fastballs down the middle for strike one, which is an enormous jump from where he was last week.
Are you confident?
No.
Hell
no.
Neither am I.
I'm not confident that the rest of these relievers could keep it up for the entire series. I'm just happy to see it once or twice.
And you know what? You were right about the eighth inning thing. Yeah. I have to give you credit for that. You got a lot of heat for saying that they were uncomfortable using members of the bullpen in the eighth inning. And here we are.
Yeah,
what are we calling it now?
It's Cora's word. It's called the Rover.
The Rover.
The Rover, which is basically a starting pitcher on his throw day coming in and pitching.
Yes.
And so what this means essentially is that Evaldi's going to pitch game four and Parcello's going to pitch game four.
And much like my thought yesterday about the Dodgers struggling against left-handed pitching, which I then was shut down by Sean Casey, was reaffirmed, and I needlessly flogged myself on the air.
But that's my fault for not stopping you.
Yes.
Okay. From being flogged.
Sure.
Right. If anyone... flogging
myself.
Your punishment is to flog me after.
Fair enough. Yes.
All right. So, John, I was thinking about this last night. If this team wins the World Series...
Yes.
Do you consider them the greatest Red Sox team of all time?
You'd have to.
Absolutely.
You'd have to. You 108 wins in a World Series, you beat back-to-back 100-win teams to get here, and then you beat a Dodgers team that matches you in payroll and has all these players? Yes.
It's weird because it obviously doesn't feel that way when you think of like the gravity of what happened in 2004, and then you know you've got everything else after that. It's also a team that doesn't have like that David Ortiz personality to it.
Not David Ortiz personality, but they have an MVP candidate and the best power hitter in the game.
Well, they have not a candidate. They have the MVP.
Okay. Theoretically, it hasn't happened yet, but yes, he's the MVP.
There is no metric. There is no anything that would make it that this team. I mean, this team won three in a row against the Houston team in Houston that set the all-time Houston record for wins. That was coming off a World Series.
Yeah, 103 wins, defending World Series champions.
And beat a Yankee Verlander.
Team. And you beat a Yankee team that won 100 and led the majors and set a major league record for homers in a season. I mean, this is pretty good what they've done here.
No, they beat two. I mean, taking the way they took care of Houston, I don't care if this goes seven and it goes 13 innings in game seven. This is the best Red Sox.
Yeah, you won the clinching game at Yankee Stadium and won the clinching game in Houston. Against Verlander.
Against a great, great postseason pitcher.
I mean, look, the Dodgers may not have that ace. I mean, Kershaw's fantastic, but not in the postseason.
Kershaw, it's weird not having watched him very often this season.
If you haven't, though, and you duck back in and you look at him now as opposed to 3 years ago, there is a big difference.
Yeah, he can't. I mean, he can't.
Big difference. A lot of those innings have piled up on him. That's a big difference.
He doesn't, in terms of velocity, he doesn't even have a mediocre fastball.
No. But, yes, that's the answer to your question. The greatest Red Sox team I ever saw was, of course, 2004. So, because of what they did, and they won 98 games, and it was a huge deal. This season would trump that because of just the sheer volume of wins, who they did it against in the playoffs, how they did it.
And you have to remember that since they've won so much since 2004, since they've won so much that there's obviously not the excitement around it that there was.
Yeah, talent-wise, you go up into, obviously, I think the 04 team had more talent on it, especially pitching-wise, but this team as a whole would be better to me.
Will Alex Cora, after one season, prove that he's a better manager than Terry Francona?
No, because you got to go back and do it again.
Yeah, you got to do it one more time.
The whole thing about managing is being able to
Farrell won his first year out. I mean, you got to go back and
the key to being an excellent manager is the ability to have people buy in year after year.
There's another question that was going through my mind last night. Did you have any idea whatsoever that Ian Kinsler and Jack White owned a bat-making company? And is Jack White the most unhealthy-looking human being and someone who needs a vegetable more than anyone on this planet?
Well, I'll put him next to me.
I looked at him and went, oh, my God, who is that?
But you know he does it deliberately. I'm convinced he goes out in white makeup.
There's a picture of him at a Cubs game. If you just Google Jack White Cubs, where he looks like the most miserable human being on the planet. It almost seems like he finds no enjoyment in going to these games, but he just somehow finds himself there and doesn't know how he got there.
All right, so he has a bat company with Ian Kinsler?
Yeah, Joe Buck during the broadcast last night was like, and there's Jack White from, of course, the White Stripes, and
who haven't been together forever,
for 15 years.
Yeah.
He owns a bat-making company with Ian Kinsler called blah, 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 and I'm like, huh?
Because I'll tell you why. Is because he's all about vinyl and wood bats. Like things that people don't use anymore.
Things that have been completely put out of business.
Yes, because I've been to his record printing.
He just owned a Blockbuster video store that he's opening.
He's going 8mm.
Right. He's invested in a carbon paper company.
I mean, that's what he does. I've been to his record, his vinyl pressing plant. Yeah, that's what he does, because no one outside of Major League Baseball in the Cape Cod League or whatever adult league uses those bats.
Yeah, I know.
It stands to make no money.
Right, no whatsoever.
No one in the major leagues is probably using one outside of Ian Kinsler.
But you could say it's a Jack White-made bat.
Right.
Which is what every baseball fan wants.
Because he just sits there and just probably stares at him making bats, and that's how he spends the day.
I think he thought maybe he was investing in actual bats. Seeing that he looks like somebody who could use a little more blood.
But there was one
vampire style.
There was one that was resting on his shoulder very comfortably.
I mean, dude, he looked like Edward Scissorhands last night.
Yeah, and I think it's by design.
So you honestly think he puts white makeup on?
I do. Because that is not being pale.
No, that is like, you're about to die. That's E.T. in the ditch.
Yeah, that's like you ran out of blood. You know?
And he's never happy at these games. I'm telling you, Google Jack White baseball, and it's just misery. And he finds himself at baseball stadiums, and I have no idea why. It's not like Googling Geddy Lee baseball. Do you see a man happily reading The Hobbit behind home plate? Yeah.
I like to read The Hobbit during pitching changes.
And I guarantee he is upset that his digital scoreboards, he likes coming to Fenway because they manually put the score up. All right, so, yes.
So Matt Kemp is part of it, too, the bat company?
I have no idea.
That's what somebody's tweeting me, which I think just the minute they said he owned a bat-making company, I think my ears just stopped. And I'm like, huh?
Yeah, and I'm telling you, it's because it's something that, you know he raises barns and stuff?
He's just like living the Amish lifestyle.
Yeah, he vacations in Pennsylvania. And
right. He doesn't own a car, just a horse and buggy.
Yeah, when he was in Detroit, he got around in a horse and buggy. All right.
He has one of those bicycles with the giant front wheel.
I bet you he makes those.
Right.
I bet you that's the next thing.
Oh,
that he
my
makes.
God. Yeah, it's called War Stick. Somebody just sent me the website, and a picture of him holding the baseball bat is the most awkwardly, it's the most awkward looking thing you've ever seen. It might be the first time he's ever held a baseball bat.
Well, he might as well burn his money. All right. Dan Roach, who is a friend of ours. Had an interesting line of questioning with everybody, it seemed, on the Red Sox last evening.